Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Today, you know, my daughter Christy was telling me that they're getting ready to take a tree down from their backyard. They're one of their last days at the lake this summer. Hope they're having fun. But they have a tree in their backyard, and it's coming right up by the window. And every year, they've been in this house a couple of years, so every season, there's a storm, and more limbs break off, and less leaves are there, less life, more death on the tree, and they're getting ready to take it down. And I just thought, man, sometimes you do have to take it down. You know, and every time there's a storm, there's a little, uh-oh, what's going to happen with this tree this time? You know, what, one lightning strike, and it's in the dining room, you know. Do you ever have any property like that or be in a situation like that? You'd be out and about and you're just thinking, man, one strike of lightning, this whole thing is done. One time Scott and I got stuck in, I think it was Tampa, and it's supposed to be like the lightning capital of the world. We couldn't even leave because of the lightning. Too many lightning bolts. Because if it strikes and on that wet tarmac and you're sitting there, you are going to be fried. I don't mean like French toast. I'm talking about the burnt stuff. You're done. So you can't be in it. And it's fearful and it's uncertain. And so when we come to places like that in our lives, I believe God either, you know, Jesus sleeps through a storm and then he rebukes it. He sleeps, if you can sleep through the storm, sleep through it. No need to exert energy for something little like somebody said something about you. Okay, you know. The longer I live, the further I go in this, the less I care. Because that stuff is just one person's opinion. I've got a whole kingdom mindset of stuff to get done. So that's a storm I can sleep through. Okay? Maybe you can't sleep through that yet. That's okay. You pick your battles. But sometimes there's a storm that you can't sleep through. And even the people around you, like Jesus is trying to sleep in the hull of that ship. But all the disciples were fearful and full of anxiety. Fear and anxiety are plaguing us as people. And so I'm not going to sleep through a storm that all the people around me are full of fear and anxiety about, but I am going to stand up and rebuke it, just like he did. And I remember this story where, I don't know if you guys remember, like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, they've kind of got a reputation just for being radical. They always have, but now that there's social media, you can see all the crazy stuff they do. But I never see this stuff that I saw and that I was witness to. And so I'll tell you something they did. So there was a storm, and Gloria Copeland was preaching. Yeah, we believe in women pastors, hence I'm standing here. And so Gloria Copeland's preaching and speaking, and she's in like a warehouse kind of a, you know, big, huge dome. And the corner of it starts to lift off, and you can see the storm in the corner of the building while she's teaching and preaching. And she doesn't flinch or move. People, you can hear the start to happen, and that fear starts to come like a wave. You can feel it when it's on somebody. If you're discerning, you can be in the middle of a conversation. Oh, their fear showed up, you know. And so that wave of panic starts to happen. The corner is lifting off of the building. It's making all those sounds. And she goes, in the name of Jesus, peace be still. And it calmed down, and the storm went on. Now, they don't ever show that on the news or social media. But here's the thing. We carry the same authority that Jesus did because he gave it to us to carry, as Donna preached on just a couple weeks ago. We carry the same compassion and healing power as Rick preached on last week. Aren't you glad you have good teachers in this place to speak something to you that is godly, that is for right now? And so I know that there are storms, and I know that they're severe. I'm telling you, if you can sleep through the storms, do so. But if the people around you are full of anxiety and fear regarding it, then get up and rebuke the storm. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Here's the story. Matthew 8. This happens again in Matthew 14 or something like that. Jesus comes walking on the water. Another storm, another day. Jesus had a couple pretty profound storms. I think we will too. It's part of it. I don't know why. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. There's something about going through. I'll pass through the fire, but I won't be burned. I won't be scorched, and I won't even smell like smoke when I come out. And rest assured, I will come out because I'm tethered to someone who doesn't burn. Matthew 8, Jesus got in the boat. And just for context, right before this, you know, this, he had a busy day, had a stressful day at the office. This morning, Jesus healed a leper, and then the centurion's daughter, and then Peter's mother-in-law, and he cast some demons out of a few, and he was tired. And he's sleeping in the boat, just trying to get a little reprieve. Can't even do that. Lord, we are perishing. Why are you sleeping in this boat? And then after this, he's going to go to the Gadarene. He's going to cast out some more demons, do a little bit more work for the evening session. But listen to this. He got in the boat after all those things, and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest, a great storm arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. In Luke, it says that, you know, that the boat was going under. Luke gives a lot more details. You don't need them for the story today, but I thought I would say it just because the idea is that it doesn't matter if the boat is in a storm, if it's threatened by a storm, if it's being buried in the waves. It doesn't matter the severity of what you're going through. Right. Jesus is always the calmer of the storm, and he's always the answer, and he's always the anchor. So Jesus was asleep. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. And he said, why are you so fearful? You can see him getting up, putting on his shoes. Why are you so fearful? You have such little faith. And so he arose. He rebuked the wind and the sea. And then there was a great whew. Can you take a deep breath and just decompress your body? Even now, in the name of Jesus, peace be still. He calms the storm in me, and he knows how to do it. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's pretty powerful. You know, there's a lot of storms that the Bible talks about. I'm sure there was some kind of storm when Moses had rose his staff and the sea parted. I mean, we think everything is so sanitary in the Bible because it's holy. And the Bible is holy, but it's not sanitary. It is full of adversity. It's full of trials. It's full of hard things. We talked about this a few months ago. David, you know, God wants David to be a king, so he put him in a war, in a crisis. You know, God did the same thing for Esther. Wants her to be a queen. He doesn't give her a crown. He gives her a crown, but he also gives her a situation to overcome. There's adversity, adversity, adversity. There's hard things. This right here, this life you live, is the only hell that you will ever know if you're a Christian. It's also the only heaven that your friends who are perishing will ever know. We try to sanitize everything. Try to make everything like Moses raised his staff and the water came apart. Do you know the wind that would have had to be there to open the sea and dry it so they could walk across? That's a storm, people. And I think we learn a lot from storms. We learn a lot more in a trial than we learn when things are easy. When things are easy, we get lazy. You know when the gospel flourishes? When it's persecuted. Get ready. Storm, a severe disturbance of the atmosphere, featuring strong wind, heavy rain, snow, hail, thunder, lightning. It also functions as a metaphor for sudden emotional outburst, massive public protest, or violent military assault, a storm on a defended position. We're going to use the word today in both, in actual storms and as metaphors for our lives, because we're not alone. Jesus never leaves us alone. He always gives us his word. He always gives us his shield of faith. He always protects us with the armor of God on every side, and he gives us a prayer and a prayer language to be able to communicate with him and to hear from him. It's powerful. Now, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 91, and it's interesting to me because I learned about eagles. I went through this whole thing years and years ago with Auntie Joyce Meyer, who taught us about eagles and about how amazing they are, how chickens peck and flock together in little flocks, and eagles soar alone, very high, and alone, in the sun and in the atmosphere and in the wind. But you know what? When they have a baby, they nestle it underneath. And they keep it. They can't even fly with it in there. Their wings are so, the pinions, the feathers are so deep. It's downy in there. They can sit. I saw this video of an eagle, and it's waking up from a storm, a snowstorm, and ice. And it just looks like it's dead. But behold, it's not dead. It starts to shake those feathers, and it opens up. And it's all in just like a fast motion video, captured it, and underneath he has a little baby in there. Warm as can be. Warm as just stew. Warm as this hot soup. Right? Just safe and sound. And it's the picture of how God keeps us. We don't think he does. We complain all the time. I only see one set of footprints there, Lord, in the sand, and they're only mine. And the Lord's like, no, those are mine. Your body is on my back. Psalm 91. We read this psalm like it's a safe psalm, like it's a safety, and it is. But listen to the adversity in it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. That's all great, right? Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Don't need deliverance if you're not in trouble. The snare of the fowler. I think of just like a bear trap, and you're stuck, and the enemy set it for you, and you don't know how to get out, right? From the perilous pestilence, that's diseases, any kind of disease that's going to plague you. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence, sickness again, that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but what? It shall not come near you. Only with your eye you shall look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So if you think all that happens and it just falls on you, it doesn't. It happens to the ones of us who make the Lord our dwelling place, who live in him, with him, for him, according to his purpose, following his instruction, being obedient. He'll give his angels charge over you. It says, no evil will befall you, no plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Man, this stuff is rich. I shall call. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So how do you put that in modern day terms? Remember Donna was talking about praying the word a couple weeks ago in her 50-something minute sermon that she did. But there was like, there were good points in there. When you pray the word back to God, he hears it. He responds to his word, right? So Lord, if I'm going to pray Psalm 91, and I did pray this when COVID was a big, big threat. I said, COVID is a pestilence and a disease. It will not come near me or my dwelling. Nor will I take the jab, nor will I be intimidated by those who make me think I have to. Start to pray it the way that it sounds. That's no offense against people that had to do it. One of my kids had to do it for work. So you have different people in different places in life. You have to be able to take the word and apply it to your life, back to God's ear, so that it comes to pass in your life. It's part of your spiritual armament, part of your weapon of warfare. Right? Right, church?
Right.
So we have physical storms. And we have metaphorical storms. I'm really just messing with the Holy Spirit up here. He's just like really on my last nerve about not to finish it the way that I wrote it. So I'm not going to do that. What do you want me to do then, Lord? That'd be great if you told me. Okay. Okay. We're going to go to the book of Acts. This won't be in your notes, of course, because I didn't give this to Tammy. Let me see if it's in here. We're going to look up Acts 27. I have to look it up, guys, because that's how it is in life. I could just tell you what it says. Acts 27, it's where Paul is arrested. And, you know, he's in prison now. And he appealed to Caesar so they wouldn't kill him. And they put him on a ship, and he's getting ready to go to Rome. He's going to be in prison for the rest of his life there. And they put him on the ship, and he tells them, he has this prophetic utterance from the Lord, and he says, we can't go there. If we get in this boat, there's going to be a storm. It's going to be bad. Sometimes God warns you if there's a storm coming. What do you think those sirens are for every first Monday of the month? Those sirens blare, and they say they're a test of the emergency broadcast system, because in the event of a tornado or a storm, that thing is going to blow anyway. And you better take some shelter if you're wise, not because you're afraid. Now, back in the day, when I was younger, if a storm would come like that, just to defy it, I would be like, come on, girls, let's go and bake some cookies. Let's go in the kitchen. We're not going to live in fear of a storm destroying our house. 10,000 can fall in every direction, but it's not coming near here. And I just would boldly proclaim that. Now that I have grandkids, I'm like, let's go in the basement and play with the stuff down there. I don't know what the difference is, if it's just wisdom and boldness at this together. But in any case, you know, it's like Paul said it. If we go there, there's going to be destruction. We're going to lose everything, and we're going to lose our lives. But they didn't pay attention to Paul. They went ahead with, you know, the boat captains and the people who were harboring for winter and said, no, we got to go. We can't harbor here for winter. We're going to go. So they put all these prisoners on a boat, and they go. And you know there's a storm, right? And it's brutal. It's a big one. It's called a northeaster, I think. That's what it's called, a northeaster. It's not a little storm. Sometimes you have a little storm in your life, and sometimes you have a northeaster. And it's a mother load, and it's coming. And there's nothing you can do about it. So you're on the ship. You know, it reminds me real quick, too, of Jonah. Another storm. Jonah is on the boat trying to escape what God called him to do. Sitting on the boat, and a storm comes, and the pagan captain and all the people on the ship say, draw straws. Let's figure out whose fault this is, that we're in this mess. It's not supposed to be here. And the straw falls on Jonah. Remember that story? Jonah realizes that he's like, it's me. It's me. Just throw me over. It's God. God told me to do something. I didn't do it. Throw me over. These can be metaphors or they can be real life experiences for us. But in the metaphor of that, what is God calling us to do that we're still not doing? And do you have even the courage to say, throw me over, it's me? Or do you just take everybody down? There's a storm coming, and there's a storm at hand. And so Paul, he ends up, you know, they're getting close to this, getting close, I think Malta is the place where they end up landing. And so there's a shipwreck of just gargantuan proportions. I mean, they're trying to throw anchors in. They're trying, but it's tearing the ship up. It's tossing it to and fro, and the waves are too strong. They can't take it anymore. Start throwing over their cargo. Paul's like, you guys, the Lord spoke to me. I have to appear before. Paul has an ego that's like so big, and also a calling and a sense of what God is going to do that is huge. It's like iron. He says, guys, I know we're in a storm. I mean, can you see him? He's got to be like this with every wave. Guys, don't worry. I have to appear here. It's going to be all right. Get close to me. Eat something you haven't eaten for a couple weeks. You're going to need some strength because we're getting ready to get land. And he's a leader. Paul is a prisoner, but he's a leader. So don't tell me that you can't have influence where you're sitting and where you go. Paul is a prisoner, and he's under the direction of the guy who's in charge of him and everybody who's on this boat. They're prisoners being transported. And one of the guys gets an idea, let's just kill all these prisoners because they're, you know, they see land. They're like, we're going to get to land, but they think, oh, these guys are going to escape, so let's just kill them all. And Paul says, no, don't kill them. They have to be with us in order for this to happen. He's kind of in charge now. And so by a lot of pain and suffering, some the ones who can swim, swim to shore. The ones who can't swim, get on pieces of the boat, and they go to the shore. And so they get there, and it's still raining. The people on Malta make a little fire, make a little refuge for them. And Paul brings a pile of sticks to throw on the fire. And it's interesting how fickle the people are in this story, but Paul's bringing some wood to the fire. He just led them through an incredible situation where everybody should have died, but they didn't. So he throws the wood on there, and a snake jumps out and bites him on the hand, a viper, it says. It's a poisonous snake. And all the people say, oh, he's bad. He got bit by a viper. You know, it's so superstitious in life. And we make fun of that and we make light of it, but we do it all the time. Someone's going through a hard situation and we wonder what sin they have. Somebody's going through something difficult. Well, they must not have had enough faith. You know, and I think it's time if we could move with the authority of God and the compassion of God, that we could start to see some healing take place in people. We have to lay down pride and judgment, and we have to come close to people. And so Paul shakes the viper off, shakes it back into the fire. Storm is still going on, by the way. And so they're waiting for Paul to bloat up, for him to die from the poisonous venom. But he doesn't. And when he doesn't, then they go, oh, he must be a god. Look at him. He can do anything. And people are fickle like that. But there are things to address in a storm. There's things that we have to look at. You know, in Hebrews, I know I've got a little tattoo on my arm of an anchor. And it's based on that scripture that we have this hope. Whatever the storm, we have this hope. And it's an anchor for our very soul. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the anchor for every storm that you're in. And he's big enough to hide you in those pinions where no harm shall come to you. Does it mean you're not going to feel it? No, you're going to feel the wind and you're going to feel the waves. And is it breathtaking sometimes? It is, but we have a God that knows how to save. And we have a God that when we put out anchors, you know, when you throw out an anchor, if you've ever seen a battleship, we drove past like the USS Alabama on our way to Florida, and we took a little detour to go see it again recently. And you can see the anchors. I mean, they're huge. They're from here to there. They're huge. They're very heavy on a huge ship. It's not a little anchor like a necklace that you wear. It is huge, weighty. It holds the boat, the ship, in place. And it's like clink, clink, clink. Every link is like this big and this big around. And every link is that big. And there are links in the chain that God calls us to let down when we're getting ready to face a storm. Whether we're in it, whether we're aware that it's coming, or whether it's just, maybe it's already passed and it's time to clean up the debris. I don't know. But here's the first thing you have to do in a storm. You ready? You have to drop the anchor of spiritual truth. An anchor only works if it hooks into something. You got to drop the anchor of spiritual truth. You have to start memorizing and declaring scripture like this. Okay, if something's up and you're feeling alone, you got anxiety, you feel scared, maybe you learned this one in Isaiah, this one of mine, okay? It says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yes. You're not too far away that I can't reach in there and pick you out of that mud and set you on a rock. He does it all the time. There's another one. He's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. In that order. He'll take you out of the mess, set you on a rock. Storm still swirling in every direction, all around. And he puts a fortress around you so the enemy can't get to you. But you can't live in a fortress forever. So he's got to deliver you from it. In steps, in sequence. Those are scriptures to lean into and let the Lord begin to minister to you. You have to have an anchor of your soul memorizing scripture intentionally. Now, sometimes we don't give you the exact scripture, that might not be what the Holy Spirit wants you to have, but based on today and the way that it's coming, that's one I believe he wants you to have. It's like a prescription for your soul. Maybe your mind is racing. You got a worst case scenario mind rehearsing the bad. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is your prescription of the day. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which is part of your inheritance and part of your land, it surpasses all of your understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So sometimes you got to take yourself by your own collar and put yourself in your own mirror and speak this. Fear not, self. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, Lisa. He is not going to leave the righteous forsaken. You think I'm cuckoo? I'm free. I don't know. Maybe your immediate environment feels unstable. Well, Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is my refuge. God strengthens me. He's a very present help in trouble. Get up. Why so downcast, soul? Put your hope in God. This is how you do it. This is how you get free when you're not sitting here under my tutelage. You're at home under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit telling you, get up, go to the mirror and speak to the eyes of the soul and speak the word of the Lord. Give yourself permission to be raw. The Bible is not sanitary. It's full of conflict. It's full of men and women that had to go through storms in life. You know, I was talking about the sea, you know, being opened by, with Moses lifting up his staff. And the storm actually came when God brought the Ten Commandments. It says the mountain where they were, they looked up and there's this huge gray cloud encompassing it, swirling around it, full of lightning and full of thunder. Sometimes the storm is producing something powerful to lead you into something holy and good. Because if you didn't have the law, you wouldn't know that you were a sinner. And since you know you're a sinner, you're saved by grace. It's kind of like all, like it was almost planned. Second link in the chain. You got to rely on your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a small circle that knows almost everything about me. There's 4 or 5 people in it. And then I have a broader circle that knows some of it. You know, and then I have everybody else. Always counts on me to be way up here. And that's the Holy Spirit's work, right? But there's something about allowing a trusted friend, a mentor, somebody that you know has your best interest at heart in on what you're going through. Because when you're an island to yourself and you try to keep everything to yourself and you're lost out at sea all by yourself, you might be buoyant, but you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're going to keep rehearsing the waves and the wind. You have to reach out. And one of the links of that chain, after you declare the spiritual truth, is to let the body of Christ surround you and let your healing come. You like it? Amen. I do too. This is one that Scott kind of touched on this during worship. A link in the chain of dropping an anchor is to remember your previous track record. And I'm just going to tell you that you have survived every one of your instances so far, and you're sitting here today. Whole and pretty good health, pretty good looking. You're all sitting here, you got a good life going. You're going to have some lunch after this. You have survived 100% of what has come against you so far. You're fierce. Babe, you are the storm. Thank you, God. I love all that stuff. Are you going to let me talk about it now, God? That'd be great. I know I probably seem a little crazy. Just really want to say what he wants, you know. I want to say what he wants for you, because I know that you're in storms too. And the thing is, if you can press into this place, if you can change your mind and let it be renewed, how do you do that? Same way. The word of God is like a prescription. It's like a mirror. It's like a lamp. It's all these things that will help your life actually transform. But it doesn't happen by holding it up to your brain like that. It doesn't come in like that. It comes in through you reading it and then through you experiencing it and for you obeying it. You have to obey what it says and walk in the way that it says, you know. And I was going to talk to us a little bit about Peter's life, you know. This is the metaphoric piece. So Peter, you know, in the early church, there's so much persecution going on. And I think we're on the verge of that. I think we are. Those little Jesuses that we hand out, people are still warm to those, but they think it's like a trinket, you know, a little trinket. They don't understand. I prayed over this little bag of Jesus, little Jesuses, and when I give it to you, I anticipate something happening in your life when I give you a little Jesus, and Lord knows you need it. So I hand a little Jesus to the server, to the barista, gave one at Starbucks this morning. He said, thank you, took it. They're still warm to that. You start getting into, do you believe in Jesus? And people are kind of like, no, not really. Even Christians, it's like, where's the excitement? I think it's like Donna said something this morning in prayer, wake up, sleeper, wake up. And look what's happening. Your redemption's coming near. Five wise virgins, five foolish ones. Some have oil and some don't. Wake up and see that redemption is right around the corner. You know, how did you think you were going to get from this life to that life, if not through some kind of storm? He is going to see us through, I have no doubt. And there's not supposed to be fear associated when we're walking with the Lord. But Peter, I mean, in those days, it was like the early church. How did it even survive? How did it even get here? If you look at AI, it'll give you the way that they did it. Like, oh, they met in groups underground. Oh, they created, like, some of the wealthy believers made provision for some of the poor ones. And it'll give you, like, the what they actually did. But we know the only reason it's still here and functioning and alive is because the hand of God wanted it to be. And he moved it through all of the expanse of time and history to now. And we still have the church, which is a powerful thing. But Jesus is, I mean, Peter is sitting there and he's in prison, and it's under Herod Agrippa is the king. And he just killed James, persecuting Christians. After him, it's going to be Nero. Nero had a special technique. He would set you on a stake, a human stake, and light you on fire, and you would be the lanterns to come to his great gala for the evening, sparking fear and intimidation over the region to destroy Christians, right? And so Peter's in jail, and he's scared. And he's sitting there, and he's trying to say the best songs he knows, praying to God. All the people at home are scared. They're like, what's going to happen? James is already dead. You know, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that's kind of like the wave of humanity right now, Christian, non-Christian. It's like, what's going to happen? What's the future? Gloom and doom. Islam's taken over. You know, oh, the government's going to have us in a socialist regime. It doesn't matter who the king is. He's the king. It doesn't matter what befalls us. We are bought with a price, and we're on this earth right now for such a time as this because he ordained it. We belong to him. We're moving in godly wisdom and authority through the storm. So there's a great persecution. Peter is in prison. Everybody's at home praying for him. Here's the story. I'll just read it to us from the book of Acts. About that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. It's one of the sons of thunder. And because he saw that that pleased the Jews, yep, religious people don't like it when you're free either. He proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, the festival, and they arrested him, put him in prison, and they delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. That's 16 soldiers are guarding him. And they're intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God. There's so many things that have taken place that happened only because we prayed. Because somebody cared enough to intercede for somebody else and to speak the name of somebody else before the King of every king and your name in God's ear. And it starts to change the way you actually live in your day-to-day life. God has you on somebody's heart somewhere praying for you. I don't know why it works that way, but it does. And I'll have people come and say, no, I can't get it from you. I just got to get it from God. Okay, well, God gave this to me, so I'm going to go back to him. Right? I'm going to keep praying for you over here with God. And when you're ready, you come and we'll have a conversation. Peter was kept in prison. Constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Wake up. Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said, gird yourself. Tie your stuff up. Let's go. Put your sandals on. He said, put on your garment. Follow me. And so they went out, and they're sneaking past. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I tried to sneak out of my house past my parents. And I was so quiet, and you'd be one board creak. This is what I think of. Peter's trying to get out of here in a serious manner to get out. He thought he was seeing a vision. And they passed the first and the second guard post, and they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened on its own accord, all by itself. And immediately the angel departed, and Peter went down the street. And he came to himself. Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel, and he delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And they were gathered praying together. And Peter knocked on the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice. And because of her gladness, she didn't even open the gate. She ran back to announce that Peter was there. He stood at the gate, and they said to her, "You're beside yourself." She kept insisting it was so. They said, "It's his angel. Don't we get like this?" It's like, no, it's gone on too long. It's not real anymore. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come through. Do we do this or do we not? And the Lord is giving us a grace to see that how he moves. He can open the door all by himself on its own accord if he wants to. He can put money in your bank account. It just came from nowhere. You know, it's faith. It's the faith that saves you. Jesus says it over and over. Your faith has saved you. It's made you well, right? I'm almost done. You guys can stand up. You can stand up. Go ahead and stand up. Peter kept knocking. "Hey, guys, I'm here." What a story he has to tell. They were astonished. He motioned to him with his hand to keep silent, and he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. And then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir. In other words, it was a big commotion among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. And when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. How does this stuff happen? You know, how are we going to get through it? Well, we've talked about a couple of different storms. You know, maybe the storm in your life is a family storm. Maybe the storm in your life is your physical body. Maybe you don't know how to have hope anymore. And I've been visiting a couple churches the last couple weeks, and I've found a lot of fear head on in those rooms. Maybe it's fear, and it needs to come down. Maybe you have a fear of the future, uncertainty of what God is doing and what he can do. But we have this hope that is the anchor for our soul, that he will sustain and he will keep us, right? So I still feel it. I still feel that tension of fear and uncertainty. And I want us to have an opportunity. I want you to come. Donna, Bomber, Scott, why don't you guys come up here and pray for people that are going to need some prayer. Maybe if you have any background soft worship music, you could play that too on the PA. Listen, I'm just having them come up because they know how to pray. That's what we're talking about here. You don't have to leave here the same way you came in. When you come in a place bound and you're looking for deliverance, it's yours. It's right here. God's not a man that he would lie. He's full of just passion and power and conviction for you, for right now, that whatever's befalling you, whatever storm you're finding yourself in, there is peace to be found in the middle of it. And there's a faith that can rise on the other side. And I've learned a lot of stuff through storms, you know. Let me tell you this too, just in case you think that after we pray and there's some kind of magic sauce that happens and then there's no more problems. After a storm, you got to pick up the debris. You got to go back and move all the stuff out of the way. Remember the tornadoes? There's big trees that have to be cut. Can't do that by yourself. You're going to need some help. Little by little, it gets moved back to a normal place, and you find your living situation better than it was before. And God does that because you're strong, and you are a reconciliation minister. You have to be intact, not afraid of the storm. Take your eyes off the wave and look back at the boat, and even better, who's sitting in the boat? He can save you, and he will keep you, right? I'm just going to let you come up. I'm going to pray over us and just make your way. These are men and women of faith. They're going to pray for you if you need some help, and I believe that you do. Father, I know you can meet people in the chair, but I know there's something about dropping the anchor of faith that says, I'm surrounded by a body of Christ. Help me to find a strength to stand up next to and with my brothers and sisters that will go with me and forge forward through this storm. Father, help us to trust one another again. We have so much church hurt and so much disappointment, God. God, let that come to a resolve today. Look where my chains are now. They're behind me. They no longer bind me. Just like Peter sitting in the middle of a prison. Father, some of these people in this very room are in a metaphorical prison of fear and torment and uncertainty. Those are not your things, God. Would you bring the keys of redemption and deliverance right now? You are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. Would you come and get in the middle of us, God? Father, some people are just so full of self-loathing and self-doubt. Would you bring the healing balm of purpose and identity in the name of Jesus? Would you start now? Father, would you have your way in this place? Would you breathe on your people, God? Would you remind us whose we are? You are sovereign. You are holy. You are good. You are just. You always make a way, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.